This is VOA News. I'm Jim Bertel. Iran and the United States trading threats following the death of Iran's top general. Reuters' Julian Satherwaite reports.
Thousands gathered Sunday morning in southern Iran for the funeral of the general killed in a U.S. drone strike. Mourners wept as a truck carried Qasem Soleimani's body through the streets of Ahvaz. Feelings were running high in the capital too. In Tehran, lawmakers chanted death to America in a session to discuss the killing. Now world capitals wait anxiously to see how Iran will respond. Many have called on both sides to calm the rhetoric. But Donald Trump doesn't appear to be listening. In a series of tweets, the US president vowed to hit 52 sites if Iran retaliates. He says the number represents the 52 Americans held hostage at the US embassy in Tehran in 1979. The question is whether Iran will heed the warning.
That's Reuters' Julian Satterwhite reporting. Cybersecurity experts say with Iran bent on revenge, a cyber attack is a non-military way to get back at the U.S. AP's Julie Walker reports.
From cyber attacks on our U.S. banks and other financial institutions to our infrastructure, Iran has done it before and will do it again, says cybersecurity expert Sandra Joyce of FireEye.
They need to attempt to create some symbolic or meaningful action as the revenge that they've been talking about, but it really needs to land short of provoking this full military response by the U.S.
She also says they may attack our elections with disinformation campaigns as they've done in the past.
In some cases, we've seen them actually impersonate political candidates.
Joyce says they can use those cyber attacks to grow anti-American sentiment. I'm Julie Walker.
And from Washington, this is VOA News. Reuters is reporting Iraq's parliament passed a resolution today telling the government to end the presence of foreign troops in Iraq and ensure they not use its land, air, and waters for any reason. Iraq's parliament resolutions, unlike laws, are non-binding to the government, but Iraq's prime minister had earlier called on parliament to end the foreign troop presence. Australia continues to battle wildfires that have scorched millions of hectares across three states. Cooler temperatures and lighter winds Sunday brought little relief from the fires that firefighters have battled for weeks. Reuters' Adam Reed has more.
Finally, some respite for residents in southern parts of Australia, as cooler temperatures and some much-needed rain mean an easing for now from the devastating bushfires that have raged throughout the region. Evacuations are continuing as thick smoke still hangs in the air. In the town of Eden in New South Wales, residents hung on to what belongings they could and waited for buses and boats to take them to safety. Similar scenes in other small towns across the state saw residents wait for news of what remains of their homes and businesses. Initial estimates put damaged or destroyed properties in the hundreds, but authorities said that the mass evacuations by residents of at-risk areas appear to have prevented major loss of life.
That is Reuters' Adam Reed reporting. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab says it attacked a military base used by U.S. and Kenyan military teams Sunday. For VOA, Mohammed Yusuf reports.
A cloud of black smoke will be seen rising from a military base in the coastal town of Lamu. The base hosts Kenya and American forces. Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the Sunday attack. In a statement, the U.S. military command in Africa, known as AFRICOM, confirmed some of the smoke could have originated from the destruction of equipment at the base. In a statement, Al-Shabaab said it had taken control of part of the camp and it had inflicted casualties in the attack. Kenya Defense Forces also said in a statement they fought off the attackers and four militants were killed. Mohammed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
Scuffles erupted between police and protesters in Hong Kong on Sunday, with dozens of arrests made. Lam Chuk Ting organized today's march.
I don't think any changes for the head of the liaison office of Hong Kong may change the policy of Beijing towards Hong Kong. But we Hong Kong people urge the international community keep supporting us, keep supporting our democratic movement.
Organizers estimated 10,000 people took part in the march, while police estimated a crowd of 2,500 at its peak. From Washington, I'm Jim Bertel, VOA News.